Welcome to today's episode of our eCompulse podcast, where we dive into the dynamic and ever-evolving world of influencer marketing with our special guest, Lorraine Roth. Lorraine brings a wealth of knowledge from her experience in direct-to-consumer space, particularly her role at United Sodas, where she has been instrumental in crafting their influencer marketing strategies and fostering community engagement. In this episode, we'll explore the nuances of influencer marketing, from understanding its impact on brand awareness, to delving into user-generated content, UGC, and its significant role in today's marketing landscape. Lorraine will share her insights on the importance of authenticity in influencer partnerships, the challenges of measuring the ROI of influencer campaigns, and the art of building a brand community that resonates with audiences. Whether you are a startup looking to make your mark in the digital world, or an established brand aiming to revamp your marketing strategies, this episode is packed with valuable insights and practical tips from a seasoned expert in the field. So tune in as we unpack the secrets to successful influencer marketing and community building in the digital age. Let's get started. Welcome to the eCompulse, your heartbeat to the world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Eitan Kotter. Join us as we meet with industry leaders, marketing experts, and the innovative minds behind the tech that is shaping the e-commerce future. So plug in, gear up, and get ready for a pulse-pounding journey into the heart of e-commerce. Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. How is New York?
It's good. It's getting warmer, which I'm happy about. It's getting to be spring, so fingers crossed it stays.
Yeah, you had some tough days the last few weeks, right?
Yeah, we've had some snow. It cleared up pretty fast, but it hasn't been the most brutal of winters. So okay. I'm most excited, though, for it not to be dark at 5 o'clock at night. So fingers, okay. Fingers crossed it's happening soon. I think it is.
Okay, great, great. So I see you smiling. So everything is, I guess, in the right direction. So, hey, thanks a lot for your time. Have a really amazing topic today, influencer marketing, community engagement, community building. So plenty of things to unpack. So let's start with just with a quick intro about who you are. Sure. And what do you do these days?
Sure. So I work within the direct-to-consumer space. Currently, I'm at United Sodas, which is a better-for-you soda company. I'm the community and partnerships manager, really helping them build out their influencer marketing strategy and also helping them with community engagement through their social channels as well as through brand activations.
Yeah. Okay, great. So, I mean, we hear so many things about influencer marketing and everyone wants to do influencer marketing and where this fits, right, in a strategy of a brand or a retailer. So how do they, you know, make a decision to go into influencer marketing? What this type of, you know, marketing activity, you know, provides as a value for the brand, you know, beyond the standard inbound, outbound type of activities?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've really been in the startup space. So primarily it's the brand awareness that I think is the mm-hmm. the real grabber when it comes to influencer marketing. But obviously, influencer marketing is also something that you can really utilize throughout your entire marketing funnel, whether that's, you know, organic, social, paid, even implementing influencer partnerships through email and website. So I just think it's something that brands can really utilize. And also, it's a way to reach other demos through influencer audiences.
Mm-hmm. So maybe let's try to go back to the basics, because yeah. We talk about influencer marketing, we talk about communities, we talk about UGC. Maybe you would just help us, you know, define all of these.
Sure. So influencer marketing, it kind of is a larger hub that kind of has UGC content creation under it. But influencer marketing is really working with influencers for paid partnerships, whether that's long-term partnerships, a one-off post, or potentially affiliate marketing. And then UGC is sometimes, you know, when a follower or a customer posts about the brand, but also you can use UGC content creators to create relatable content about your product or, you know, maybe about a platform you're promoting. And you're able to use that content through your marketing funnel. the UGC content creators, the big difference with influencers is that they're not posting on their channels. They're giving you content to use on your own.
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about influencer marketing, it's the idea of influencer who has an influence, right? Whether it's a nano influencer or a micro or mega, right? They create some kind of videos on behalf of the customers, usually obviously paid, mm-hmm. and they promote on their own network, right? To leverage their network, scale the outreach of from the brand perspective. And when we talk about UGC, in your terms, it's more of a creator-led, some professional creator who create content that is handed over back to the brand itself for the brands to share on his own social media account, correct?
Yeah, and I think with UGC, one thing too, which is great, is it's a little bit more affordable for brands who may be on a tighter budget and getting that kind of high-quality content, as well as including mm-hmm. people in imagery. I think that's one big thing when people are... when it's brand side and you just have a physical product and you want to show how it's relatable,
yeah.
using UGC content creators is a little bit more cost effective when it comes to imagery and videos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just a cost perspective, or it's also like the ROI of such campaigns are different from the two, from your experience?
It definitely helps with the ROI. They perform much better. It's not... coming off as fake or scripted. I think that's really important because, you know, customers can tell the difference. And it's also just a great way to also work with UGC content creators as they grow their business. A lot of times they actually become influencers themselves. So it's kind mm-hmm. of a benefit working with them in a small capacity as they grow.
Okay. Legally, who owns the assets on the two scenarios?
Well, it depends on the contract itself. Mm-hmm. Once, you know, we pay them, it's ours. For United Sodas, we have year usage with what we're currently working with UGC content creators on, but it can span from anywhere from 3 months to a year, typically. It really just depends.
And in terms of the influencer marketing, once the influencer obviously is getting paid as well, or she, and they post on their network, so they have some legal ownership of those videos. It's also related to the brand, or probably depends on the contract and the terms.
Yeah, it depends on the contract. There's, you know, different ways of utilizing the influencer content. So it could just be a one-off post on the influencer's social channels, but you also mm-hmm. could be boosting the post or utilizing it through allow listing or that type of thing.
Okay. So what is the recommendation? I mean, let's assume a brand wants to go to the influencer marketing route or to the UGC. I mean, what are the considerations to take here?
Well, I think with influencer marketing, you're not just going to an influencer who may not know your product or just because they have a large following, that doesn't mean they're actually reaching your demo. So mm-hmm. my number one recommendation is reaching out to the influencer, seeing if they would like to receive your product. You know, give them a few weeks to utilize the product in their daily life and see if they post organically or have feedback. If mm-hmm. they post, I think it's great to stay in contact with the influencer and see how their audience engages with their story, their post, their reel. And then from there, you know, you can kind of lead into more of a paid partnership. From my perspective, a lot of influencers love the opportunity for long-term partnerships. Just because that's something where, you know, with any marketing initiative, a customer has to see a product a few times in order to really convert. So when you work on a long-term partnership, you know, the customer has that opportunity to see the product numerous times and really be able to track the conversion from that influencer.
Got it. So just finishing this discussion around foundation, basics, definition, community and community building and community engagement. What do you mean by that and how it fits in everything we've just discussed, you know?
Yeah, so I'll give you a little background on me. So I've been in the influencer marketing space for a while, but I've also always been the community social voice, originally at Otherland, which is a direct-to-consumer candle company, and then at United Sodas. So I am the person who is, you know, interacting with followers, customers, influencers on their social channels primarily Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, and really kind of starting a conversation, building relationships, which really encourages not only followers and customers to, you know, post and engage with the brand, but also influencers. And that's something that with United Sodas for a bit, they weren't as active on their channels. So I actually took the initiative to, you know, just go on posts that maybe were relevant to the brand, maybe didn't have the product, but engage with them. And that actually boosted their profile views, their follower count organically, because people were seeing the name out there, even if it wasn't through an influencer.
Yeah. So let's talk about at the beginning here, from the perspective of the influencer, of the creator. Let's talk about them. I mean, what's their daily life? What they're looking for? What's their plans? Let's figure this out and then probably jump later to the brand, to the other side, to the brand perspective.
Yeah. So I think from an influencer perspective, and again, I'm not an influencer, so I could be wrong, but I hear a lot that their biggest goal is, you know, building their community and doing partnerships that, you know, are benefit to their community, whether it's, you know, surprising, delighting their community with coupons to brands they love, engaging them through, you know, fun partnerships. Maybe if for example, if it's like a home decor type of influencer, partnering with a brand that has a launch around like a bedspread, and really creating a realistic story to really engage the audience.
Yeah. And how do you run such a campaign? Okay, let's start from the first step. Assuming we want to work with an influencer marketing campaign, what are the steps that are involved here? Maybe we start from the strategy and then continue on the actual implementation.
Yeah, so it's very dependent on the brand. I actually just recently posted a poll on LinkedIn about this, because I think it's a big question as to, is an influencer marketing platform beneficial to a brand? How many people are actually using it? I have used a platform at United Sodas called Aspire, and they're great. I love them just because they really help with the relationship building, and they're a hub for all of the data, the ROI from the campaign, as well as housing all the content, sending contracts, even being able to, you know, do ads, get ad rights from influencers through the platform. So what I start out with is figuring out, as a brand, do we have any upcoming marketing campaigns? Are we trying to sell out of a specific product? Are we trying to get brand awareness in a store? And building a campaign off of that. Number one thing too, I think, to consider is you should have a budget. Don't go in to an influencer saying, how much do you cost? That's just going to cause a lot of back and forth and potentially just an immediate no. Whereas influencers want to work with brands that they admire. And if you come in saying, hey, my budget's $1,500 for one video, they might say, hey, that's well below, but I'd love to meet you halfway. So I think that's a big thing. From, you know, once an influencer is kind of on board to a campaign, actually, let's step back.
Okay.
For searching for influencers, people can take a twofold approach. For me, I have quite a nice network of influencers I've worked with at Otherland and also at United Sodas. So I do have those people I kind of will pull for certain campaigns, but I like to take an approach of manually looking for influencers on social platforms. So mainly Instagram and TikTok, searching by hashtag. So like, you know, for United Sodas, maybe hashtag soda lover or something that kind of brings up people you're already posting about a similar product, or hashtag dinner party. You know, we want to have someone who loves hosting dinners and can have these sodas displayed in a pretty aspect. So I'll search that way. And then also with Aspire, they have a creator search option, but they also too have a marketplace. So you can post your campaign and have people applying.
Okay.
Yes. So,
and they're like vetted or qualified or at least interested.
So I would vet them. You can put certain requirements around it, like, hey, it's a product only campaign, or this is our budget. You can ask certain questions, asking for examples of content they've done for other brands. But it's a great way to kind of sift through applicants you may not, or influencers you may not have seen when just searching organically. So, and it also just kind of gives a well-rounded group of people.
So you would search for them on social and then try to find them on Aspire, or just reach out on social as well?
So Aspire has a way of inviting them through their platform. So I'll find their email and I'll send them like a little invite with a link to the application page, and then continue the conversation if they decide they want to apply.
Got it.
Yeah. But yeah, so then from there, once we get like a good number of applicants, which for United Sodas, we typically work with around like 15 to 20 per campaign. Then we send the deliverables, which often is like a reel or a post, and give them a set date for the content we'd like to receive. I would say in general, you should not be giving less than 2 weeks to create content. You want them to feel like they're not in a rush and are able to really use their creativity. And when it comes to the content, we give a brief. I like to give examples from not only content that our brands gotten from influencers in the past, but brands that we, whose content we love. And I do it in a little bit of a, like a short deck, just with examples. But and otherwise, other than giving them a few brand points, I really like to let the creators do what they do, which is create, and not make them feel like they're like reading a script. You want it to come off naturally. And I've rarely had an issue where I'm like, this is totally off base. And when it when you're doing a paid, not a product only campaign, I mean, you do have that opportunity typically in the contract to ask for a redo, but I don't find that's often the case because typically they know what they're doing. And then, yeah, so then from there they post, you find metrics regarding the post. And, you know, if something performs really well, you can kind of discuss, you know, other partnerships with that post, whether it be boosting or using it for ads, that type of thing.
Yes. Yes. In terms of the approval of the video, there is usually like it's a quick process, like this back and forth, or you just accept. Yes.
So with, I'm using it through Aspire. So the approval process, you can kind of change around how many days you have. So for example, we just got content in from someone from our UGC content creator program, and they submitted. We have 5 days to get back to them, and can then within that platform say like, hey, we loved this, but can you change the copy of the post? Or hey, the flavor name wasn't facing forward. Do you mind switching that? We're not super picky where we're like, because it takes a lot to redo an image. So if it's, you know, doable, that's fine. But we like to also just give as much information up front, like don't use a dented can, things that are pretty obvious, but like maybe in the process get forgotten. So then that redo isn't necessary.
What about the authenticity versus polished, right, type of video?
Yeah. So it really depends on the channel there. Instagram is a little bit more polished. TikTok, I think, you know, in terms of performance, you don't want something overly polished. It is something that should seem natural. Also, an interesting thing too is, you know, with the algorithm and with guidelines, when you do a paid partnership, whether that's product only or money, you have to put that paid partnership label on the campaigns, and that actually tends to decrease the reach in a way of the views, which is interesting to see because otherwise it may perform much better. But they're definitely trying to play a game with you there.
Oh yeah. I understand. Interesting. So the same video will be created for TikTok and for Instagram, or they will do different videos for each platform?
It would be different videos. I don't typically ask for more than one video per campaign, but I do typically like to ask when it comes to a reel or a TikTok video for one image, because when you post a TikTok or a reel, you have to have that cover photo. And if there's nothing within the video that you can freeze frame and it looks natural, then you're kind of at a loss. I kind of like to add that on to the content guidelines and deliverables, which has worked really well for us.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of the, when they post on their own social networks, I mean, all the overlay, the captions, the subtitle, the titling, the music, you know, different images, overlay. Is it something that you just give free editing, you know, opportunities, or you are also involved in these final edits as well?
So we give hashtag recommendations, or hashtags we use on our own channel. Maybe if it were like a specific campaign, we might be a little different, but our recommendation and kind of the standard when it comes to hashtags now is not to use more than three. So maybe one focused more on the brand name, one focused on a trend. And then like TikTok, I feel like a lot of people use the hashtag FYP for your page, which helps with awareness there. For the most part, they kind of know what to say. It's really just the hashtags we give them suggestions about.
And you also provide the captions, obviously, the text. And
yes, we give them like talking points, which are kind of facts about the brand. I haven't really been like, write this, because I don't want all of the influencer posts to be the same with the copy. But typically they, you know, they say something about the brand or like, you know, get ready with me with my United Sodas or something. And it's obviously different depending on the content of the influencer.
And how do you are exposed to the performance, like impressions, views, shares?
Yeah, so that's all through Aspire. It'll show the views, the impressions, the reach. It'll show like, you through Aspire, you can also do like affiliate. You can show, the cost you put into the post, that type of thing. My recommendation is not to look at the conversion and all that and all the reach. That typically happens not immediately. So checking back after a month, and that's kind of when I would say the true ROI of a campaign is really shown.
Okay, so the primary target of these videos from your experience and the project you did were to increase brand awareness, to the KPI was like impressions, or what about conversions? I mean, this is something also that can be discussed and addressed?
Yeah, so I think conversions are always super hard, and this is a conversation I have with people in my community, which we'll kind of talk to about later, which is women in influencer marketing. A lot of conversation is like, how can you really measure conversion? Is that promo codes? Is that affiliate links? And it's tough, especially when it's just a brand awareness tactic and you're not really having a direct link to the website. You can obviously, you know, check your Shopify or whatever platform you're using and see if, you know, orders went up that day. But it, like I mentioned earlier, it takes a few times to really see that conversion. So it can be tough to kind of measure where that sale came from. I really love the approach of brands putting a required survey at the end of their purchase to say, hey, where'd you hear about us? Because I think that can really help show the benefit of influencer marketing in a more concrete way when, you know, tracking it can be super hard.
Yeah, I mean, today when TikTok has announced that every video on TikTok can be shoppable, right? They've announced that.
Yeah.
So obviously it takes some time, but then you can immediately, right, know exactly based on the video itself. You know, you can create a shop now, buy now link or button, and it will immediately redirect to a landing page and fulfilled by the checkout in TikTok. So this is, I think, going to be very much easier way to measure conversions, right? Because of the shoppable aspect of video that is definitely a growing segment in video creation, you know, beyond brand awareness, impression. I think conversions, yeah. video conversion around shoppable video. Again, it happens across different platforms, not just social, also marketplaces and others. So this is probably the next wave of engagement with creators or influencers for conversion.
Absolutely, yeah. No, and like yeah. I mentioned earlier too, I'm seeing a resurgence of affiliate versus just one-off partnerships. It's just becoming a lot more prevalent, and brands too are also kind of trying to build out ambassador programs too, and to kind of get more sales and build their community.
So assuming one of the influencers or creators performed very, very well, and we want to continue for a longer term engagement, okay? So how this will look like typically?
From like one post or just like working with them continuously?
Yes, working with them continuously.
So it depends on the reach of the influencer, you know, and how long you want to work with them. I think a lot of people do like a year long or 6 months to a year. But I think like from United Soda's perspective, more on the UGC side, we do on a month to month basis. And that can be, you know, when you are working with an influencer and long-term, you maybe require them to do one post and one story a month, to keep their audience engaged. And like, the product on the radar. It can be kind of as hands-off as the brand wants. But I think from an influencer perspective, what I've heard is they like that type of partnership because it, first of all, keeps them working with the brand consistently and also kind of shows the true love that the influencer has for the product to their audience, and it shows much more authenticity than it would be if it were a one-off partnership and they'd never used the product before.
Yeah.
So I think every brand has a different approach, but that's something for us we do also through Aspire.
Yes, and it also gives them more solid, you know, forecasting, income forecasting for the months to come. Right.
Yeah, I do think a lot of people have a mixture of long-term partnerships, affiliate, one-off. But yeah, it's definitely just dependent on the influencer's goal.
Yeah. So let's discuss about some of the challenges or problems or, you know, the pitfalls brand needs to be aware of, you know, when engaging with creators or influencers, again, from your experience and things you hear in the industry.
I think pay is a big thing, which would be, I think, in any industry, making sure you're, you know, compensating them for their time and not devaluing them. There's a lot of back and forth when it comes to negotiating. And a lot of times that also involves talent managers. It's not you always talking directly to a creator. One of the communities I mentioned that I'm part of is Women in Influencer Marketing. And a lot of the members are talent managers of creators, which is great from a for me, from a brand perspective, to be in this community because I can kind of see what they go through in negotiating, what they see from brands and what they don't like. And also they see the same from me. And I kind of get a better idea of what they're charging, the differences maybe in different agencies and, you know, what influencers are looking for. It's kind of an insider scoop. So yeah, I'd say the pay is definitely something, you know, that is important, as a brand to establish, and, communication is key.
Got it. And what advice you would provide to brands who want to start with influencer marketing? And I understand, I think we need to differentiate between those brands that already have in-house and influencer managing like Soda. So definitely they can work with Aspire or some similar platforms. They have the time to spend and search and communicate and evaluate and qualify and vet and right and but a lot of brands don't have that internal resources, right? But and they want to do influencer marketing or work with creators. So what advice do you provide? I mean, how do you suggest they can start?
Yeah, so I'm actually helping a client who just launched their first beauty product. And she's never done anything. She doesn't have a super high following on Instagram and TikTok. So I'm kind of helping her with strategy when it comes to those channels with posting. And our first approach is seeding. So that is, you know, reaching out to influencers who fit the demo that they're looking for. For her, it's in particular, it's travel influencers. It's the corporate woman. And so reaching out to those to get brand awareness for them to post organically on their channels. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great approach. It takes time. Like it's not a, oh, I reach out to 50 and 25 of them say yes. Like it is a follow-up type of process. My approach is reach out, wait a week, then follow up. I say something like, hey, just checking in, make sure you got this message. Would love to send product your way. Same goes when you send product, I would follow up like 2 weeks after they've had a chance to try the product. That friendly check-in, like making sure you got the product, can really increase the posting rate and then be like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, yeah, I got it. I'll be posting tomorrow and sharing with my community. Yeah. That's a great, you know, budget-friendly option, seeding. From a social strategy, I'm working with this client on, I'm working with UGC content creators. And one thing I was exciting for me was I'm partnering with a lot of UGC content creators that I've used at past companies. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving them more jobs, which I'm like excited about. And I know yep. their results. So it was very easy to be like, okay, I can partner with them. They know what they're doing. I'm not going to have to ask for redos. And we're using that content to post in her feed. So it's not just the founder posting videos of herself. It gets a little bit more wider of an audience, shows diversity, I think is key. But yeah, it's Excel sheets all the way, to be honest. Sure. When you don't have a platform, it's very manual. and I think that's something, you know, that takes time to build out, but, you can't, what's really exciting about startup space and what I kind of love is you can see the immediate effects of even the smallest, initiative, whether that be through like follower increase or, you know, a few sales that day, you know, you can contribute directly to that influencer.
So I think it's important also to mention that it takes some time to see real results, right? It sometimes may take months or so. So this is, I think, a very, very important message we need to emphasize here, right?
Yeah. And that's actually a conversation I've had with a few people that I know within influencer marketing is like, hey, my boss is saying to me, like, let's start this affiliate program. And they're wanting me to reach out to people and just invite them after we haven't sent them anything. And she followed up with me like a week later and was like, my boss is mad because no one's made any sales. And it's like, it's been like a week. Like, what do you expect from that? Like, there's patience is key. Building a relationship is key. Having a like email cadence where you're offering them content ideas. Mm-hmm. Checking in with them, giving them incentive to post, you know, if you make a certain number of sales, we'll bring you up a tier, is really important. And like I said earlier, conversions, it takes a few times for someone to see the product. They're not going to look at someone's page and be like, oh, that makeup brush is amazing. I'm ordering it now because she posted it. Like, and I think it's so interesting that people still think that one post is going to convert to a sale. Yeah. I think I also spoke to someone recently who said that they pay not off of sales, they pay off of clicks. So if someone gets a certain number of clicks through a link, they will pay them a certain amount because that still counts as some type of conversion in their eyes. So it's really dependent on what the brand wants, but I think like you can expect immediate sales. And if you do, then you're not going to be able to build a successful program.
Exactly. I mean, like you're building relationship and, you know, with your customers, you need to build relationship probably with your creators, influencers, and those potential sellers. I mean, it's the same, right?
Yeah. So we did an event with Otherland, the candle company I used to work at. And I met some of them in person, and it's just fun to be like, okay, you know them from a personal perspective. I was like, oh yeah, you moved to New York. Did your boyfriend like come too? And she's like, no, we broke up. Like it's those relationships that stick in their mind and stick in your mind. And it's not just a business transaction. It is something where you're growing together. Yes. Their brand and yours.
And of course, for those whom you want to work with the long term, it's also important to do variety of also offline events, right? Not just online. I think it's a very important, you know, message.
It is. So I've done some both with Otherland and United Sodas. I think activations are becoming really popular, especially, you know, post-COVID. We did some initiatives at Otherland, had a store in Soho in New York, and we did some fun brand activations, inviting influencers to the store. I also did a activation with Rockefeller Center, partnering with 25 influencers and giving them a day there of just like activities. Really fun.
Nice, fun.
Coloring. And it was all for, you know, that brand awareness. We focused on NYC content creators who could really bring their audience to our pop-up for those 2 months it was there. And we saw huge success and just like relationship building from it. I could invite them to future events and and then United Sodas, we did a park activation with a skincare brand. And that was really fun to kind of combine our audiences and test out doing something in the park. And we did learn from that, you need a rain date. If you're doing something outside, you should have a date for if the weather's not good.
okay. That's important. Yeah.
But it's super fun. I think the one thing that's hard about brand activations is, again, it's hard to measure conversions from it outside of how many posts you get, maybe an increase in followers. You can't really, like, you have to figure out, are you giving them a code? Are you, you know, how are you tracking? And are they actually going about purchasing through that code, or are they going through other means?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great, Lauren. Let's talk about WIM. I know we are involved with WIM, and share more information about WIM and what exactly is this all about and what do you do there?
Yeah. So I am part of Women in Influencer Marketing. They are a community focused on women who work within the influencer marketing space, whether that's talent side, brand side, freelance. I've been in their community about 2 years and it's just great. I mean, they have a Slack channel, which I'm in daily, and it's an awesome hub to ask questions like, hey, how do you do this process? Hey, do you have a contract template you can send my way? Or, you know, they even have hubs in the Slack channel of like NYC, Austin, Texas. So like you have those people you can meet up with in person. Mm-hmm. And most recently, they started an ambassador program, which is great to really rev up the in-person events. And so I'm now one of the three ambassadors for New York. We're planning our first event, which proves more difficult than I'd expect. But very fun. We're coming up with fun concepts and ways that we can not only engage members, but bring people in to the community. And it's great. And Jessie, who's the founder, she's super involved. She's Brooklyn-based, so I'm lucky in that I can kind of see her and talk to her a lot. But, you know, not only the community is great, but they also have a lot of resources when it comes to webinars, panels, some articles and that type of thing on their website. So it's proving really successful. And I think I've kind of over the last year or two just realized how important community is in building your career and, you know, knowledge, but also your personal branding and being a name people remember. If you're not in a community and you're just kind of to yourself and your company, you're not going to kind of build those connections you want in order to grow in your career.
Yes. Well, it's very, very nice. And we will provide more information at the episode show notes, of course. Yes. Lauren, anything you want to add?
I don't think so. This has been great talking. I'm excited. I'm glad to connect. And yeah, I'm excited to see what questions may come from this podcast.
Yes. So now we are at the fun fact section of the podcast.
Okay. So my fun fact. So I, as you can tell, I have a bright wallpaper behind me.
Yeah.
I've really gotten into interior design, and something that I kind of love doing is going to thrifting at antique stores, getting a lot of things from there, but also just kind of building a space that I really love to be in. It gives me energy. And that's why I have a lot of bright colors in this room in particular. Okay. But the community that I actually joined, because I'm a part of a lot of communities, is Goat. Okay. So they are an interior design community. They actually have a platform where you can they have contests with brands and a lot of fun things. So I kind of dabble in that on the side. I haven't built it out into a full side hustle, but it's something I really enjoy doing and kind of an area of my life that I like to stay on trend with. And they too are kind of great from a community perspective. They have a hub now on our website. They used to be Slack, but super fun to kind of lend my creative juices to another area outside of influencer marketing.
Wow, very, very interesting. So you also have a secondhand sustainability angle, right? To things that you do.
Yeah. Yeah, I have some fun stores. I'm in New York, and so there's a lot of fun secondhand stores, and it's just kind of fun to put things together and kind of, mix and match and have, a mix of old and new.
Great. So Lauren, where is the best place for people to find you?
So LinkedIn under Lauren Roth. I'd say that's the best one. I don't think you need to follow me on Instagram. but yeah.
Okay. Now that's interesting now. So I will definitely look on your Instagram. So.
There's nothing bad.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Huh? Cool. If anything, I post too much of my stories about my life. So
okay. No problem. So but that's for a different podcast, I guess.
Yep.
Okay, great. It was really fun. Very, very interesting. Thank you so much, Lauren.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode. Your support means the world to us. If today's episode has been insightful for you, consider sharing it with someone who would also benefit. Even one share can make a big difference. Looking to elevate your e-commerce game? Discover Vimi, a multi-channel e-commerce platform that will transform your business with the power of shoppable video. Visit us at vimi.net to learn more. It's Vimi, V-I-M-M-I.net. Thank you for being part of our journey. Stay tuned for more invaluable insights in our next episode.